Amén. Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly there in San Luis Potosí, in the congregation that Reverend Benjamín Vargas pastors, and to everyone who is connected through the Amazon satellite and the UTELSAT 8 satellite on this occasion, and also those who are present here today, Sunday, October 27th of this year, 2024. The subject that we have for today is, at evening time, it shall be light, which was preached May 23rd of 2009 in Cali, Colombia. We read from Zechariah 14, verse 1 to 9, which is one of the scriptures that Dr. William Soto Santiago read to us here in this message. Where it tells us, I behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. There on the left he writes, Daniel 12:1. And in this one he draws the star of David to the left. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the woman ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. There on verse 2, there he also draws a star of David on the left. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. There he also draws the star of David on the left. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of the Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. There he writes, hereafter all the saints, he writes, Revelation 19, 11 to 21, and 17, verse 14. On verse 4, there on the left, he also writes here, the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. On verse 4, the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. There he writes, Malachi 4, verse 5 to 6. And he writes, the evening of Laodicea, the dispensation of grace. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. There at the bottom he writes, the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. At evening time, it shall be light. In the book of quotations, on page
68,
in paragraph 590, it tells us, and what's the evening light come out for? What is the evening light for? To restore. Whew. You get it? The evening light is for the same purpose the morning light was for, to restore what was cut down from the dark ages through Rome. God is going to restore by shining forth the evening light. What? Restore the whole Word of God again, the full manifestation of Christ in His church, everything that He did, just exactly the way He did it. It would be again in the evening light. On the left, there He draws a cornerstone and the ages, the seventh age divided there. See what I mean? Oh, isn't that wonderful? And to know we're living right here to see it now. The evening light. Exactly according to prophecy. The evening light come out to restore what? To restore what the bugs had eaten up. And on the right he writes, the evening light. Now let's turn to Joel. Chapter 2. Verse 18 says, then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yeah, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. And there he writes on the left, he writes Rome, Russia. And will divide him into a land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his hinder part towards the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savior shall come up, because he hath done great things. Here in this Bible, see on verse 18 where we started there on the left, he drew a star of David. And above that, he wrote Revelation 1, Isaiah 59:20, Romans 11:26.
Tierra.
Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And there on the right, he draws a star of David. Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the later rain in the first month. And on the right here he draws the Star of David. And on the left over here, he writes on that 23rd verse, Revelation 14, from 1 to 5, 7, 2 to 5, 11, 3 to 14, 22:6, 22:16, 4 verse 1, and 19 from 1 to 10. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with vine and oil. On the right, he draws a cornerstone in that age and the ages. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the caterworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. There on the right, he writes, Gentile, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome Empire. In other words, those four stages. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now, notice here, in this subject, the four stages of the restoration of the church, which was preached on August 3rd, 2012. And it was also in Cali, Colombia, he tells us. When the church bride recognizes her place, her position where? In the mystical body of Christ. When she recognizes which age or stage she is in. On 37 of this book of quotations, it tells us, in paragraph 306, it says, God can take a man and adopt him into the family and give him something that first, try that and see if it's right. The Bible said, try the Spirit. This man claims a certain thing. And he writes on the left, Moses and Elijah, try it and see if it's right. If it says right, move right with it. Then say, Lord, send us something else. Keep moving. See? Just keep moving till every fellow takes his place. Then you're going to see the church of God begin to get its place. Then, when the Philistines will go to backing up, the shorts will go off. Hair will grow down. Faces will be washed. Cigars will be missing. That's right. When the church begins to get into its mighty power, when we have an Ananias and Sapphira and a few of them, yes, sir, you'll see when that holy church stands together in his power, positionally placed as sons of God, adopted into the family of God, powerful church standing there in its glory, Oh, that's what he's coming for. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And above there, he writes, in the adoption, and he also writes, Ananias and Sapphira. Now look also there on 308. He tells us, what's everything waiting on? What's a whole creation waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for the church to become into its position. And there he draws a little cornerstone. Who was the Son of God when Adam? Where was his domain? There on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And in the part where it says, the manifestation of the sons of God, there the arrow towards a cornerstone. And on the left, on that same sentence, on the left he writes, adoption and a cornerstone. And the arrow towards a cornerstone. The earth, he had domain over the earth. Is that right? He was an Elohim, then he was Jehovah. See? That is, I am God. And I've made some lesser ones under me. And I have given them a dominion. And in their domain, the dominion under them is the earth. Man had dominion over the earth. And all the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. On the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards a cornerstone. And he writes at the top, cornerstone. God, trying to place his church in position to manifest himself. At the top, he writes, the adoption in the cornerstone, the position. The manifestation of the children of God. The adoption in the cornerstone. The position. The manifestation of the children of God. Our brother William continues to say, those of the past ages didn't know what age they were in. They didn't know anything about stages or ages. And look, on 134 of quotations,
allí nos dice,
there it tells us,
del párrafo,
paragraph
1197, todas sus palabras,
he proves all of his words,
todas sus palabras,
all of his words.
Solo piensen en ellas,
just think of it,
todas sus palabras,
all of his words.
Y ustedes eran su palabra,
and you were his word. He was a word. Above that he writes, the Logos, the Word, the Theophany. And you were part of his Word. On the right he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and a Star of David. And that's the reason you're sent here, to confirm your place in life. I don't think you got that. See? He is the Word. Now you get it? He was in the feet, in Luther, in the thighs, in Wesley, in the shoulders of Pentecost. See what I mean? He is the head. You have a part that joins that together. This hour that we're living now. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Not the feet part, not the thigh part, not the shoulder part, but the neck part. And in the part where it says, but the, there an arrow towards the neck, towards the part between the seventh age and the cornerstone. And at the top he writes, to confirm your place in life. He also writes there, the Logos on the left side. It is Bible study as well. There he writes, where they put this quote for him. And at the end part of the quote, he writes, the age or stage of the neck. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the part between the seventh age and the cornerstone. And look at this one here. This drawing that he does, this study was from the subject, the position of the bride in the mystical body of Christ. The position of the bride, and he put, equals today, the church bride. Now notice this drawing here that he made for us in this Bible study. Where he puts in the seven ages, which is under the dispensation of grace, he puts it all the way to the neck part. And then on the pyramid, he writes there eight and a door. Of course, the door is Christ, which we see in Revelation chapter 4, where he says, come up hither. That is, he draws the arrow from the subject to the cornerstone. Now see, everything he was showing us was what would be after the dispensation of grace, which we were not living in at that time. But everything was spoken in terms of what would be in that new age and that new dispensation. And he showed us where it was that the church bride had to be positioned in order to receive her transformation. It was in an age above the ages, beyond the dispensation of grace. And the resurrection and transformation could not take place under the fulfillment and work of God under the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace had to be closed so that the dispensation of the kingdom could then come in, where all the promises for the elect of God are contained. That's why when the church recognizes its position, then the rapture would take place. Under the dispensation of grace, these promises were not there. Therefore, the dispensation of the kingdom, when he said the door of the dispensation of grace was about to close, see, he was showing that we were still living under a dispensation in which those promises were not going to be carried out. But he revealed and made known to us that under a new age and a new dispensation, that is where God would fulfill that promise. And the church had to recognize that position. Every elect of God, if they don't recognize where they stand, they cannot expect to receive the promise of transformation. That is a requirement to obtain those promises, recognizing where you stand today. Now look, he continues to say, they lived, meaning those of the ages, they lived without being aware of the age they were living in. They did not understand these things, but for the end time, for that fourth stage, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will recognize its position, which is not the first, second, nor third, but the fourth position in the restoration of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 68 of this book of quotations, he tells us from paragraph 591, these are excerpts from the message, The Restoration of the Bride Tree. He says, do you get it? Paragraph 591 from page 68. Do you get it? Amen. For God said, I will restore it. He's going to restore it. How? By four death messengers killed it. On the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the last three. 1, 2, 3. And the cornerstone at the top, 4. Then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther. Justification. What was the second? There he continues to number them. John Wesley. By sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. What? The Word. There were four great prophets. One of them, Martin Luther, he began to shine a light. There was a little light, just a very small strength of justification. Along come Wesley. Stronger, sanctification. After Wesley come the stronger than him. Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in another great prophet. See? On the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he numbers them. 1, 2, 3, 4, the cornerstone. But in the last day of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. On the right, he writes, Elijah. And above that, he writes, above the paragraph, I will restore. On 592, look there, it continues to say in this other excerpt, prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophecy, can these bones live? What is the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, said the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. On the left, he writes, fourth light, a cornerstone in the ages, 1, 2, 3, 4, he also numbers them. And on the right, he writes, light, and also a cornerstone and the ages as well. And the last three ages and the fourth, the cornerstone, he numbers those as well. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals. Leaves. Clap their hands. A lot of clapping along when they go singing, all of that is Pentecostal. Pentecostalism. And that belongs to the dispensation of grace. It's all clapping and uproar. That's why what our brother Miguel read is in the book of quotations. That's where it's written. Which is not in the manner and the way it was done in the denominations and in that third Pentecostal stage. Rather, it was with and in great reverence that stage that he was seeing there, where the people were being prepared to receive the promises corresponding to the dispensation of the kingdom. Pentecostals, leaves, clap their hands, joy, rejoicing, Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the resurrection, sign that Christ has finally, after justification, been planted, sanctification been planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. There on the right, he draws the Star of David. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap, and there he draws a cornerstone. What is it? On the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them, the last three, and divides them. That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out. How beautiful it is to be called the Holy Ghost bunch and to be able to say, I am part of the group of the Holy Spirit, not the group of that movement over there or this over there. No, I am part of the Holy Ghost bunch. Thank you, because I belong to that group. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to belong to that group. Being honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away, that when he comes back and he writes in his coming, it'll catch the whole thing in the rapture. On the right he writes the cornerstone going upwards. He wrote above the Star of David there the cornerstone, where the justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. And there, that pyramid, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And our brother William continues to say, when the church bride, the bride recognizes her position, then what will come? The rapture. Brother William says, that is on page 37. Let's see, and also page 107, but let's turn to 37 first. Paragraph 311 says, now notice, then the coming of the Lord Jesus is so close at hand, until the Spirit from way down in here, just barely justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now right into the time of the coming of the headstone. The church has got to be so perfectly like Christ, until Christ and the church can unite together, the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Jesus said that, see? Now we've got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. What does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. In the ages, the book of the ages, it tells us that the coming of the Lord would be the vindication, which that minister of Laodicea, meaning of the Laodicea age, is the forerunner of his coming, the very presence. In this book, it is one, page 369 of the ages, but in the other, it's a 365, or 3, check to see where it says, though he will not be popular, he will be vindicated by God. As Jesus authenticated John, and the Holy Ghost authenticated Jesus, we can well expect this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit, working in his life in acts of power that were indisputable and found nowhere else, and Jesus himself in returning. And he writes there with Moses and Elijah. Page 365. Jesus himself in returning, because the Son of Man comes with his angels, he writes here, with Moses and Elijah, will authenticate him, even as he authenticated John. John witnessed that Jesus was coming, and so will this man, like John, and he writes Elijah, witness that Jesus is coming, and he writes Moses and Elijah. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was a forerunner of his second coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. And he writes Elijah and Moses. In other words, unless this messenger appeared, the ministry of Elijah in his fourth manifestation forerunning the coming of Christ would not be vindicated. For the end of the Gentile period would be Jesus himself appearing. There he writes, the last 3.5 years of the 1954 years. And he draws an arrow towards the cornerstone in the ages. In the other book of the ages, he writes, the end of the dispensation of grace. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. Now notice here, where we're reading, what does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. Look at the Lutheran age under justification, coming just so freshly from Catholicism. Look at it moving. Then look at Wesley coming a little closer into sanctification, weaving into the scriptures. Look at right in between the Wesley. Then the next thing come in was the Pentecostal age, and the Pentecostal age with the restoration of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, which would be taken away in the age of the cornerstone. If you can find that quote, the gifts will be taken away. I think it was a writing. Now look at the age coming now, right up to the headstone. See what I mean? The coming of the Lord, the made known. God, in all creations, is waiting for the church to positionally find its place. There at the top he writes, the age of the cornerstone, the coming of the Lord. And in the, here as well, in this Bible study, where they put that excerpt for him, he writes, the ministry identifies the coming of the Lord, referring to paragraph 311, which we just read. Now let's see this one that we just quoted here, page 16, paragraph 122, says, I was just inspired to speak them words and say that some glorious day that all the gifts that's in the church will just be set aside on the mantle, as it was, and the Holy Spirit himself would just take the church in such a control of divine love until the sick will be healed. The blind will see, the lame will walk, without being hands laid on them. It'll just be one great unity. On the left he writes, in the tent vision, divine love. And on the right, he writes, love, there on the top of the cornerstone and the ages. And above that, he writes, the tent vision. On the eighth day, gifts will be taken away. Divine love will take the church. The sick will be healed. And there, on the beginning of paragraph 122, there a Star of David on the left. Now let's turn to 107 from this book of quotations, paragraph 931. It tells us, here in this portion. From page 107, the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony, and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? There on the right, He draws a cornerstone, and the ages, the arrow towards the cornerstone, where He says, that's anew, and there an arrow towards there, towards the cornerstone. Oh, if the church only knew its position. And there He draws another cornerstone, and the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone on the right. It will, one day, when the rapture will go, when it knows what it is. There He draws a cornerstone, and He writes adoption. And at the top He writes the new birth, when the church recognizes her position. There's another place too on 36 where it also tells us in paragraph 304, he tells us, and these mysteries has been hid now. Remember, the Bible said, since the foundation of the world, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, to display them to the church. On the right, He writes adoption. Now remember, all through the ages of Moses, back through the ages of the prophets, back through all ages, they've waited until this later days for these things to be displayed according to the scriptures. And He underlines and circles later days. That's right, for it to be revealed to the sons of God. Christ, the headstone, see, was rejected. What will be revealed? Everything God would do, and to whom? To His church. But as we grow from the Lutheran age, Baptism age, Methodist age, Pentecostal age, we're right up to the capping stone now. See? Waiting and longing for that capping stone to set down. The building's complete. Now, and in the Bible, we're living in the last day, the top of the pyramid. And there He draws a cornerstone, the ages, and the arrow towards the seventh age. And on the left, a cornerstone as well, and the ages. And from what we read, an arrow towards the seventh age. And in the cornerstone, where it says capping, will an arrow towards the cornerstone. The crossed fishes of the Cancer age in the zodiac, in the time of the coming of Leo, the lion, in the capping stone, and in the days of the manifestation of the sons of God. And He writes on the right, lion. See where we're at? We're right at the end time. Oh, what a privilege, what a day, if the Christians could only realize the day that we are living in. There He draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left as well, and He divides the seventh age. My, what do you think? The writer of this book, that seen it, and seen where it would be manifested in the last days, waiting and groaning for those sons of God to rise in the last days with the power of the Holy Ghost at the end of the age, to reveal the secret things from the foundation of the world, to bring it up. And there at the bottom he writes, the adoption, at the top, in the cornerstone, on the final day, last day, in the seventh millennium, the adoption, at the top, in the cornerstone, on the final day, last day, in the seventh millennium. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone, ages, and he writes above the cornerstone, last day. Notice, all the prophets were pointing to this day, waiting for those children of God. And when we read that, one can say, I am one of those children that they were waiting to be manifested at the end time. That word has already come to life in us, in you and in me. It's no longer when they. No, it's already. I am already being manifested in my life, showing what was spoken. See, even the earth groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, our brother William continues to say, when the church bride, the bride recognizes her position, then what will come? The rapture. That's where the faith to be transformed and raptured is received. Where? In the position of the age of the cornerstone. And when she recognizes that position, that is where she will receive and does receive the rapturing faith, he says. That is where one receives the faith to be transformed and raptured, which he will give to his church under the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. And under the voice of the seven thunders, which is the voice of Christ speaking to his church at the last day, to hear his voice and obtain the revelation of the seventh seal, to therefore obtain the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. On page 8a of this book of quotations, on paragraph 75, it tells us, Lord, in a few days, I'm climbing into a cave yonder to wait. And on cave, he draws a cornerstone. Oh God, help me, Lord. Blind me and deafen my ears from the things of the world for popularity or for fame or for any vain thing that this world could offer. Let me stay here, Lord, till I hear that still small voice. He writes on the right, still small voice, going upwards. Then let your servant come forth, Lord, mounting up on the wings of an eagle. And on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Grant it, Lord. And he writes, wings of an eagle. And those wings are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Above he writes, come forth on the wings of an eagle. Elijah, the still small voice, equals cave. That is the age of the cornerstone. And look, in this writing of this Bible study from the message, Where is the God of Elijah Today? There he writes, we will see him for the fifth time with Moses. We will see him for the fifth time with Moses, coming on a white horse, the word, in a tent cathedral. That is a rider on the fifth horse of the Revelation, which is the coming of the Lord with the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now, our brother William continues to say, we must be aware that in that stage, there will also be a squeeze prophesied for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to be prepared so that we don't say, I didn't know that we were going to suffer. See on page 68 of this book of quotations, in paragraph 589, it says, at that day, you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. Brother Branham says, I love that. Satan just gets so angry at that. See, because when the church is going to receive the blessings and starts recognizing her position and uniting as one same body, the devil doesn't like that. That was what he said in words to the bride. It says, he'll shoot everything. There's a part where he says something like that. Look. There at the beginning. Love one another above everything. Love one another. Don't, no matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember, my warning, see, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. Notice that he says that. He doesn't like that. That makes him angry. He'll shoot everything if he has to bring someone in to make his target. For what? See, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever. And you already know everything he goes on to say. Why? Because the devil doesn't like it. And even more so when he knows that he has little time left. He gets angry, he says. Satan just gets so angry at that. See the oneness of God? All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. There you are. Makes them all one. And he writes there, above that, God in Christ, Christ and his bride. And there on the right, at the bottom part of that excerpt, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he also writes, Jesus Christ, we are one. Now, notice why the devil gets angry when we reach that unity. But look, in 130, it tells us what the bride is going to receive. There, in that perfect age, he says, paragraph 1159, As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth resist it. Won't have it in their neighborhood, won't even cooperate with it, won't have nothing to do with it, but said, their folly will be made known when that bride takes her stand. And there he draws a little cornerstone and moves up into the skies. It'll be made known. Don't worry. And to the left he draws another cornerstone, like Moses when he took the children of Israel and took the flight out of Egypt, and Egypt sunk. And there he draws the Star of David, on like Moses, when he, on the right of that, he draws the Star of David. And above he writes, Jannes and Jambres. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, whoever doesn't understand these things and doesn't know that there will be a very difficult squeeze will say, no, I won't go on because I do not want trouble. It has already been prophesied that it will be that way, and under that time of squeeze we will receive the faith to be transformed, and the third stage will be manifested. The resurrection of the dead in Christ will come, and the transformation of the believers in Christ who are alive in the stage or age of the adoption, the fourth stage of the church, in the program of the restoration of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. See in this message token, which he speaks to us here on page 17, and he writes to us a requirement there. And may God allow us to understand this. It says, page 17, halfway down the page, yet the point now, the Jews, no matter how much they could prove that they were circumcised, but the token had to be shown. If not there, the covenant was not effective. It wasn't. Same now, same thing. On the left, he writes, the covenant is not effective without the sign. No matter what you do, no matter how much you can explain the Bible, you might be a Bible student. Oh my, you might say, I'm a believer and everything. But still, the token is required. A Bible student, you say. I was a good person, Brother Branham. I don't care what anybody says. You can't beat that man. I never seen him do anything wrong in my life. That don't have that to do with God. There is one requirement, and that alone. And you cannot do that. You cannot put the blood on the lintel of the door, where the token could not be unless the lamb died. And there he writes one requirement. And the blood was a positive sign that the lamb died. No make-believe. The lamb died. And the Holy Ghost is a positive token that your lamb died, and you received the token upon yourself. For his very life is in you. See? And he writes there at the bottom, in the evening time, there would be another sacrifice. There is no make-believe. There is no put-on. There is no impersonation. It's there. You know it. You know it. The world knows it. The token is there. Above he writes the token applied. No matter how good the person was, might be a Bible student, it might be any kind of good church member, it might be a good person, It might be a denominational head, meaning a minister. It might be the hierarchy of Rome, meaning the Pope. I don't know who it is. I don't make it anything. But Israel, any Bible student knows that Israel was a type of a church. Exactly, to the promised land, and that's where she is journeying. But when the evening time comes and the journey was on, there was one solemn requirement. No matter how much Jew he had been, how well he had kept his crops, how well he had taken care of his neighbors, how much he had done, how good of a member he was, how much tithes he paid, all these things was fine. That was okay. He was a good man, recognized among his people as a good man, but without the token of the blood, he perished. And on the left, he writes one requirement. Now look in the book of quotations on page 115, paragraph 1019. It tells us, it's a uniting time of God and His bride, too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she is sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanism is there. The mechanism is there. They're waiting for the dynamic that'll take her off the earth into glory. In the rapture, the dynamics of this church will be the refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago will raise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the skies. And below he draws a star of David and he writes the mechanics. And he draws a cornerstone and he writes the dynamics and the arrow towards a cornerstone. And he writes the refilling. And going upwards, on the left, he writes the cornerstone. And at the top of that excerpt, he writes Revelation 3, 19, 11 to 19, 7 verse 2, 14 verse 1. And he writes the resurrection and the rapture. Now notice that all of that has to do with the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Our brother William continues to say, even the restoration will come to the physical part. We will be restored to physical eternal life with and in eternal and glorified bodies. The restoration of the title deed, the book of the seven seals, will also take place by that book being restored to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day, which Christ takes in heaven and brings in Revelation. He takes it in heaven in chapter 5 of Revelation. He opens it in heaven in chapter 5 up to chapter 8. And then he brings it to earth and delivers it to his church. His church represented John the Apostle. Therefore, the ministry will be there to which the word for that age comes. Which age? The age of the cornerstone. As it was for every stage of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in this writing as well of this Bible study where he wrote, the revelation of each seal has its fulfillment in human beings. The revelation of the seventh seal will be Christ, the Holy Spirit, veiled and revealed in human flesh, in a man. And also, in this other writing, where he speaks about Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6. In that scripture, he writes, He will be, because that scripture says, therefore my people shall know my name, therefore thou shalt know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And he writes there, he will be in the Messiah, in his body of flesh. The four stages of the restoration of the church, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see that he had said in this message, time of unity and work to receive the promise of transformation, he says, everything pertaining to the seven seals will be spoken. The title deed, the book of the seven seals, Reverend William Branham says, is not open yet. That was the teachings of what will come to pass. See? Of what would come to pass, he brought that revelation. And where he brought the teachings of what was already history and what was happening in his time. And all that is contained in the seals. But the title deed is still in the right hand of God. When he is taken from the right hand of God, then Christ has already changed from lamb to lion, from high priest to judge. And that is why in Revelation chapter 10, he cries as when what? A lion roars. He is already there as lion, with the book open in his hand and seven thunders uttering their voices. When the mighty angel is told, go and ask him for the little book, and he says that he went and asked him for it. He had it in his hand. And he said to him, take it. He gives it to him there. And eat it. Because the book is to be and for being carried, the word, the ark, in the heart, contained in the heart of a prophet. It shall be sweet in your mouth, but it shall be bitter in your belly. In other words, because of the persecutions and everything that messenger will go through, and also the people who will therefore also be receiving that word, which is being received at this time. And as we obtain all that word, there will be more and more bitterness because of that word. But it is better to have that word, that title deed, with which we are claiming our possession, and go through some trials and struggles, than to not have that title deed. Not go through problems and difficulties, but have to go through the great tribulation. So when one sees, it's worthwhile to keep fighting. It is worthwhile to keep persevering with criticism, mockery, and with whatever the devil throws and continues to throw our way, but with the brightening blessing, with God's blessing, which leads us to the promised land of the new body. Now notice, at that time, he was telling us in 2011 that the title was still in the right hand of God, that would be later on, which pertains to this time. Now he continues to say, therefore, onward, working in the work of the Lord, until all the promises given for the church for this end time are crystallized, and we see what has been promised for this end time. Things which of that we believe because they are in the prophecy, in the prophetic word given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 106 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 920, it tells us, look here, where we're at, right here at the top of the pyramid, right here, where God has proved it, that the Bible through the seven seals has perfectly been revealed, waiting only now for them seven mysteries, and he writes there, thunders, right at last, on the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church, that might happen before morning. And he writes, waiting for the thunders, right at last. And he writes, in the coming of the Lord. And at the top he writes, Revelation 10, 1-6, the thunders, colon, in the coming of the Lord. And our brother William continues to say, there will be a fulfillment. The fulfillment of the tenth vision that Reverend William Branham had. And we all want to be aware of that reality and be working on that project, a divine project, a project that has to become a reality, not in the first stage of restoration, not in the time of Luther, not in the second stage, not in the time of Wesley, not in the third stage, not in the time of Reverend William Branham, not in the time of the Pentecostal age. But in the end time, in the fourth stage of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, on page 134 of the Book of Quotations, now, look at this writing as well. Notice, it did not happen in the time of Luther, nor in Wesley, nor in Reverend William Branham. But look at how it was in the time of Moses. Here he writes over here, in this writing, he says, Moses coming out of Egypt with the Hebrew people to go to the Promised Land. Joshua continued the work. Notice from stage to stage, God went on sending a messenger for that restoration in the midst of the church. And see, back in the time of Moses, he writes there, in the fourth generation, they will come back here. Lutherans, Wesleyans, Pentecostals, and the fourth, the Word. The Word came in the fourth generation in Moses and Joshua. Now let's turn to 134 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1193, where it says, yes, become a part of the Word, a part of the Word of today. Can't be a part of the Word of Moses' day. That part is done made up. That was the feet. We're at the head now. This is Christ, not the arms time. Back in Luther, no, this is the head time. Christ, the headstone, comes to the body. And we see the great reformation of Luther in that age, and of Wesley, and the Pentecostal. Now we're looking for the headstone of the city. And at top he writes, the headstone comes to the body. The headstone is Christ. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on 69, now, what is a cornerstone for? To ripen. Notice, this is where it speaks to us. In paragraph 593, on page 69, there will come a light, will rise. Whereabouts? Over in Jerusalem? No, sir. Evening lights will not rise in Jerusalem. The evening lights goes where? In the west. They had their day and refused it. But the evening light shall rise in the west. What for? To shine upon the word. What? To ripen the fruit, bring forth the bride tree. On the right, he writes, the sun will ripen the grain in the west. On the left, going upwards. with the same signs, wonders, and fruits that they had at the beginning. And on the right he writes, the sun, and a cornerstone, and the ages. The sun, west. And he also writes at the top, the light in the west. Our brother William continues to say, that is why Reverend William Branham tried to conquer that promise, but he could not. He tried to reach out his spiritual hand to take a hold of those promises. He said so in several places in the Book of Quotations. I could almost reach out to take a hold of it. But he couldn't, because it was not for his time. It is for the fourth stage of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a restoration that will not only reach the spiritual transformation, but also the physical one, the adoption of the sons and daughters of God. On page 77 of the Book of Quotations, in paragraph 661, it tells us, God represents His church as a bride, and the way He brings each individual to being His son, to go in that bride, He also has brought that bride through these ages till He brings this one complete church into this. On the left, He draws a cornerstone, the ages, and He writes, love. My feet move. Why? Because my hand said so. Now, it can't move like my hand, because it's my feet. Luther can't do the things that we did. Neither can the Methodists, because they were something else. See? The feet moves because the head said so. And the head never says, now feet, you become a hand. Ear, you become eyes. See? But each age, God has placed these things into His church and patterned it by showing that each individual possesses these qualities. And this being, when it is complete, it is a church of God going to rapture. And this being, and complete, is a servant of God in the church of God that's going in the rapture. Remember the message masterpiece? Now he writes, love again. And below he writes, one, the church. Two, the believer. On 161, in paragraph 1429, it also tells us, you can't see with your hands, yet it's part of the body. You can't see with the ears, yet it can hear. You can't see with the nose, yet it smells. You can't see with the lips, though it speaks. See, that was the Pentecostal age. But now, it's in the eye time, the seeing. And on the right, he writes, eyes. See? Now, there isn't one moving faculty beyond the eyes. Is that right? The next is the intelligence, which is Christ itself, who controls the whole body. And at the top, he writes, the eye, dash, the prophet. The intelligence, dash, Christ. And below, he writes, who controls the whole body. That is, there at the end, at the bottom, he writes, Moses and Elijah. Which, there's a drawing about. Where he showed us where those two eyes are. Let's see if it's here. which pertain to the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Here it is. And this drawing is already a complete study, which we are going to continue developing. This subject, which we have already seen, and we have already seen all those scriptures, but look at where those two eyes are, which from age to age, an eye, notice, represents the prophet of that age. God opens an eye, then he closes it, then he opens another one, and again, that is, he takes them away. They're called stars, page 265 of the Book of the Ages, because they're holders of light, it says, in ages. Now notice, then up above, in the age of a cornerstone, are those two eyes, which in that dream that our brother Branham's son had, we were not going to talk about this now, but let's, since we touched on it a little bit here, in the Book of Quotations, I believe it's from the message Standing in the Gap, where it shows us, if you can find it quickly there, where he says, my son Billy Paul talks in his sleep. It starts like that. If you have it there, it must be around the year 63. Let's look at 1050. On page 118, my son Billy Paul, he talks in his sleep, but he doesn't have these dreams very often. He had one the other night that shook him up. Said he dreamed he was in a church, and I hadn't come in yet. Said when I come in, fire was flying out of the eyes. And he writes there, Moses and Elijah. And I said, this is the time. It's over. Because under the ministry of Moses and Elijah is when time is no more. That is, the time of the dispensation of grace. It's over. And everybody began screaming, I can't, my children. And even my wife said, I can't get Sarah to ask the blessing at the table, and so forth. And I said, he said, I've got to go get Lois and the baby. I said, Lois can't come now. The baby is too young to know. Billy, the hour is here. We must go. I said, it's midnight now. Before daylight, Jesus will be here. If it isn't, then I am a false witness of Christ. And somebody spoke up and said, no man knows the minute or hour. I never said minute or hour. I said sometime between now and daylight. And he writes there of the seventh millennium. And I said, let's go, Billy. And I said, we're at the time. Let's go. And we got in the car and started. And we started up the mountain. And when we did, it looked like the light was coming in the skies, but dark upon the earth. He said, I pulled off the side of the road and held my hands over like this, fire still flying from my eyes. He says, he holds up his arms. And he said, I said, Lord, I have did this in your command. I have did this just because that you told me to do it this way. I have did these things according to what you've told me. And I motioned to a big granite mountain, and a light without hands cut a stone out of the mountain, weighing hundreds of tons. And here it comes. I said, turn your heads. Don't look. It'll all be over just in a few minutes. Said then a great holy hush. And he writes, silence for half an hour, coming everywhere, as this stone come towards the place. It may be later than we think. There, see, that's exactly scriptural. You see, the stone without hands cut off the mountain. And so one of these days, it's going to be that way, where you're going to scream for something. But it was a dream sent to him from the Lord. He writes there, going upwards on the right, between now and daylight, Jesus will be here before daylight. Now notice, let's go to 1420 of page 160. It says, you mustn't misinterpret the Bible, for Jesus himself is an interpretation of the Bible when he's made manifest in the age that the part of his body is being made manifest. And he writes, fulfillment above manifest, fulfilling. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. If it's an age hand, it must be a hand. It can't be a head age. If it's a voice age, well, then it can't be a foot age. See? And now we're at the age of the eye. And now the next is him himself to come. Seeing? Prophetic. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone. See? Down through the age, we started off from the foundation. From the first church age, when the seed went in the ground, the complete seed, then it come out through the feet, Luther, come back out then through Wesley, then into Pentecostal, the tongues, in the lips, see? Now it's in the eye, prophetic, of Malachi 4, and so forth. And now there's nothing else left for it to come but him himself to step into that, because that's the last thing there is. The next thing is intelligence. And we have no intelligence of our own. It's his. And he writes, the Lord's intelligence equals the mind. Moses and Elijah, the coming of the Lord. And he draws a cornerstone. And above that paragraph, he writes, after Elijah comes Moses. And above that, he also writes, age of the eyes. In other words, of those ministries which the Holy Spirit would be operating in the age of the cornerstone, which we saw there in that drawing. Now he continues saying, that is why the call from God of the last day is to come up to the stage relevant to our time, the stage for the adoption of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 116 of the Book of Quotation, Quotations, paragraph 1028, it says, that's the reason I do believe that when that bride is called out and elected and set in the Book of Life, there will come such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that that'll take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. God promised it. And at the top he writes, baptism of the Holy Spirit equals the fullness. There will come a sound from heaven. And in baptism of the Holy Spirit, between there, he writes the transformation. At evening time, it shall be light. That is a subject that we will be hearing and seeing on this occasion. And we have seen briefly in a few passages everything relevant to that restoration of the Church of our Lord at this end time, which was shown in the book of Prophet Joel and in the messages of Brother Branham. In that message, the restoration of the bride tree, there you can find many things that we were told, which we have touched in other studies. But notice, all of that is to be fulfilled at this end time. In this message, it also talks about perfect faith. Here it also tells us about that position that the church bride has to be or receive. Look, just a little bit, since we have it here. It says on page 16, Jesus had a perfect faith. He had it. And it come because he was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word. And as you receive the Word, if ye abide in me, and my words in you, my words, which this word abides in you, then ask what you will, and it will be done for you. See? If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. On the right, he writes, the spoken word. When you pray, believe that you will receive what you ask for, and ye shall have it. It'll be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. He writes, vision of the word. It's already over with. Now watch. Now, and he said to us, if ye abide in me and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. Then recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position as he recognized his position. He writes there, recognize our position. Is it not written that Christ shall come? And what all Christ would do, he said to Cleopas and them that morning, isn't it written in the scriptures that they'll have to, that he must suffer and then be killed and raised in the third day? Said, why are you so slow of understanding? And they thought, my, this man speaks a little different from other men. Come to find out, when they go into the inn, it was him. See, their eyes was withholden from him. See, they know that he kept laying to that scripture, and they know it was him. And there he draws the Star of David. Now you must believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. Recognize that these things are for you. And he writes below, recognize your position. Recognize that these things are for you. That is something for you and for me. Just recognize it. Those are things for the elect of this end time, who have come to the age of the cornerstone. At evening time, it shall be light. Let us stand and thus leave in this subject. in which he tells us many important things here. And from what we have, from what we've spoken, we have seen there everything relevant to the time in which we are living and the importance of recognizing our position. If we have a song for this occasion, and that way we can have the message for this occasion. Go ahead with the song. Let's sing number 133, The Pillar of Fire. Pillar of fire. Which spoke to Moses from that bush. Which went with Israel through the wilderness. And parted Jordan for them towards freedom. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with his great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus. Which was in his angel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am. The pillar of fire, which will fill this great temple with glory. The one that will perform miracles and wonders is becoming incarnated in our lives today. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with his great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger. He's here today. He is still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am, the pillar of fire, which was in his prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am. With us, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.